All right, it is 9:51 on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. And this is Basketball This Week Done Quickly. All right. Yeah, I'm just going to start with the story of the week. And the story of the week is South Carolina has pulled off the perfect season. They've done one of the most impressive things in basketball and had a perfect season. Last season they only lost one game last season. It's kind of amazing. It's really one of the most impressive feats, especially when you consider that this year South Carolina, you know, they lost their entire starting five from last year and had a lot of freshmen, and they still did one of the most impressive things we've seen in the sport. And they did it while fairly handily defeating Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Now, the reason I bring that up is there are news outlets that are just ignoring the South Carolina part of this and trying to make this all about or only about Caitlin Clark, when the big sports accomplishment here was what South Carolina did. Dawn Staley is amazing, not only because of her coaching, but because she's just right on so many things. Like they tried to corner her early this week about potential trans athletes, and she had the right answer, you know. So it's I think if you're somebody who is trying to make this only about Clark, then you do have to ask yourself why. Now, I'm not trying to say you shouldn't tune in to watch Clark. That's why most people tuned in. Let's be real. That's why the biggest college basketball game ever was the biggest college basketball game ever. There should not be any sort of doubt to that, that it was because of Caitlin Clark. You shouldn't feel bad or anything like that. You should only feel bad if you don't say, well, Caitlin Clark was great, but what South Carolina accomplished as a team was better. And you have to say it, because some people didn't quite get that point this time. So just gotta say it. It was a good tournament all around. It was also a good tournament all around. It was fairly predictable. Easy for me to say, because every bracket contest I entered, except for the national, of course, I'm not, not a pure genius, but every small tournament that I entered, I did, of course, win. I should have Pete on to defend his choices, but. maybe next time, maybe when it's not such a busy sporting week, he can come on if he wants. I'll ask, but I forgot to ask, so maybe later. But yeah, it was not the most unpredictable tournament we've ever had, and there are people, at least on the men's side, there are people who, or on the women's side, really, but there are people who only tune in for the underdogs and upsets, and things are probably pretty disappointing for them, because it was a pretty much a chalk tournament. Like, South Carolina was inevitable on the women's side. On the men's side, UConn was also inevitable. they just destroyed that Purdue team. It was close for a half, but you could kind of tell that UConn was playing in for food a little bit, because they just kind of blew the doors off him in the second half. There have been a lot of college tournament finals that have been like that lately. It doesn't seem to be the best way to create a good basketball game. I don't know why that is, but I've never been a big fan of single elimination formats anyways, so I don't know how you make something that is inherently bad, in my opinion, good. So Yeah. But hey, it was a tournament where I had fun watching it. Yeah, so I think that I can say it's good because of that. All right, NBA. Unfortunately, Giannis is injured. They're saying, so let's hope it's true. There is no Achilles tendon damage, even though calf strain is usually code for Achilles damage. They're saying this time there's no Achilles damage, so he's gonna miss the next three games and hopefully be back to play in the playoffs. Now, of course, I think a lot of people are pretty scared over what happened to Kevin Durant a couple of years ago. So every time somebody has a calf strain, some people start worrying. And hey, I do it too. Like whenever AD has a calf strain, I think, oh, his Achilles is torn. Shut him down. I get it. But at least if you know they've done the testing and they say, you know, there's no Achilles tear, there's no Achilles damage, and if you want to play him in a week, you should play him in a week. You know, makes sense. The Bucks are in shambles, though, truly in shambles. So, yeah, it's everything is going poorly for the Bucks this second half of the season. Changing coaches, firing a coach who won 60% of the games is never that great of an idea, of course. So, yeah. Although I'm getting ahead of myself with Bucks talks. Yeah. Seeding is chaos right now. If you're following the NBA and trying to figure out what your team is gonna, who your team is gonna play for the playoffs, you can't, because all 15 out of 16 seeds are decided or undecided. I'm sorry, the Celtics are the only team who knows they're gonna be number one overall. You can make some predictions that are pretty safe right now, but it's wild to me that people try to make safe predictions this time of year, because you never know which team is going to decide to rest their players, which team is going to try to tank for a pick, which team is going to say, hey, we have no reason to tank, we're going to play really hard. You never know. So people who are just making predictions about who should win or who will win, never trust it. Especially people who use that ESPN playoff percentage thing. That shit is so whack. It's never right. Like, it's just based on SRS as a predictive model, which is pretty bad as a predictive model. There are much better predictive models you can use if you want to use it. I say much better, but they're like slightly better. You know, I would not live off and die off of SRS though as my as a way to decide who's gonna win the playoffs seeding. That wouldn't be what I would do, you know. All right, let's get into regular features. Team of the week, the Sixers. They're coming off of 6 wins. Embiid is back. Everyone else is kind of floundering or playing 500 ball for the most part, or like in the case of like the Lakers playing 700 ball and still going down in seed. So, but the Sixers, you know, they're playing pretty great right now, and they're taking care of business, and they look kind of scary. So it should be interesting to see where they end up, because for a while it looked like the Sixers were going to be play-in bound for sure. So now that they're kind of rising out of that, they should have a pretty comfortable early playoff. So it should be fun to watch. Well, I mean, Sixers basketball is never ever fun to watch, but you know what I mean. It should be an interesting thought experiment as to what happens in that game, and no watching of the Sixers should happen. Embarrassment of the week, it has to be the Bucks. Like, you know, I want, I like, okay, it could be the Magic, right? I can make a very strong case for the Magic being the embarrassment of the week, but almost all the news, like who were people clowning on this past week? It was the Bucks, because they just don't look good. They look bad against bad teams, and it's not great. It's not great when your aspiration is to win a championship, and like the guy you got rid of is on a team that is ranked ahead of you, and is just balling out for them. It's a bad look. Very bad look for the old Celtics. Or, I'm sorry, the Bucks. The Celtics. It's a very good look for the Celtics, unfortunately for me. But it's a quite good look for the Celtics. Quite bad look for the Bucks. So, I think Orlando is playing worse for like a contending team. But all the attention is on the Bucks and Doc Rivers, and it should be. You know, it's quite an insane situation, and still one of the most head scratching trades ever in my life, but oh well. Oh well. All right, non-basketball, of course it is the total eclipse. That one is fairly easy. Sorry, somebody yelled yeah outside, and it was quite a quite distracting, but anyway, I had wanted to do is I had wanted to, take a trip to, somewhere in like Ohio or, anywhere in the totality, somewhere I'd never been before, maybe Oklahoma, something like that. And like, have like this cool, experience. I didn't quite get to have that. I don't currently have a regular job or a job at all, really. Seemed pretty dumb to pay several hundred dollars in gas to drive somewhere and then drive home, because sure as heck can't afford an hotel right now. So that was a bit of a bummer, but it was still a good experience. I ended up going down to Nogales. There's a park called Peña Blanca Park, right next to the border. So close to the border that it's not always pleasant to go to this park, because usually like the border patrol just buzzes you all day long. It's pretty annoying, but it was quite windy. So it was way too windy for helicopters. So we six people that had the same idea to go to this park, we had a pretty pleasant non-border patrol experience for once. And I don't know, I would have been better off like just going somewhere in Tucson, but I wanted to have a fairly take the experience in alone, and feel what I wanted to feel. And I went somewhere where it was a giant like 40 acre park where, like I said, I saw six total people like in the entire place. So I think I made a good choice of where to go if I wasn't able to get to the totality. And in Arizona it didn't even get dark. The sun just still showed through, but I'm not an idiot. I had glasses that I got from Sonic. I actually, for the last eclipse, I bought some like really fancy glasses from like a science supply place, and I just, of course, I couldn't find them. Don't remember where I put them. Looked everywhere for them, couldn't find them. So I went to Sonic and got glasses from the science equipment provider, Sonic, the fast food stop, and they were fine. I didn't go blind, and I got to watch the moon cover up 75% of the sun, and it was pretty cool to see. It's some good moments. But hopefully one day I'll get to see the totality. I guess the next one is in 2026, but it's in Europe. the odds of my wife being together enough in 2 years to go to Europe are pretty low, but we'll see. All right, that's going to do it for this one. Stay safe, my beautiful friends, and I will talk to you I'll talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you until after. Maybe I'll talk to you before the play ends, but more than likely, I'll probably. There'll either be a show before the play ends or after. there will definitely be a show after, of course, but I haven't decided whether or not I want to do a show before the play end. But we'll see. All right, I'll talk to you all later.